We have a challenging subject for today from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 22. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. And he goes on to cast some more woes over the children of Israel of his day. But I want us to think for just a moment about the first part of that section. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Is there anything that could be more disturbing among a group of people than for them not just to be confused or not just to make mistakes, not even to commit sin and know that it's sin, but to commit that sin, to do those evil things that are a violation of God's laws, and call them good? That's the situation that had taken place and had grown in the land of Israel in the time that Isaiah was prophesying this and preaching and teaching this. He said there was a big problem. There were a lot of people, certainly not everyone, but there were a lot of people in the land of Israel at that time who were so confused about the difference between good and evil that they were calling good things evil and they were calling evil things good. And we've gotten to that point in our society as well. You know, it's always amazing to me, whatever is going on in the world around us, it seems like when you go to the Bible, you can find that those same kinds of things were going on at some point in the Bible's history. You know, we think about how far we've come, how civilized we are, and yet the things we're doing are the same things that they did back then. You know, it's true that you can gain knowledge of science and technology and all of those things, but at the heart, mankind is still the same that he was from the Garden of Eden. The temptations that Satan used on Adam and Eve, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, those same temptations he still uses with success today. We've not gotten any wiser. We still fall to the same three basic kinds of temptation today. It's an amazing thing. For all of the history that we have of having seen other nations go down this road, we go right down the same path. These people didn't know the difference in dark and light. They had it confused. Can you imagine? If somebody came into a dark room and said, "Oh, it's too bright in here, turn off the light," we'd think there was something wrong with them. They said bitter was sweet, and sweet was bitter. Can you imagine? If someone eating a donut or some ice cream or a piece of candy and said, "Oh, that's bitter." They're confused. They have it backwards. And there are many in our society today who are in that same boat. We have a society today that is heading toward the point where the society in general has things backwards. What should be good and should be honored and should be lifted up is put down and condemned. And what should be condemned and just removed from society as a whole is being encouraged. We, however, do not have to follow what everyone else in society may do. We have the choice. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. Just as those people back then had it laid before them, we too have God's words laid before us. We have His teaching that tells us the difference in right and wrong. In Deuteronomy 30, Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." He said, "That's what I'm doing. This law, that's what it's all about. You know the difference in good and evil. You can do right and live, or you can do evil and die. You get the choice. I'll put it right there in front of you." He said, "Then that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." Now, of course, we know this is the Old Testament. This is the law of Moses. This is to the children of Israel. But do you think it's any different today? Do you think that God doesn't still want people to walk in His ways and keep His commandments and statutes and judgments? Of course He does. Has He given us some new and different ones? Yes, certainly in the New Testament He has. But the principle that God wants us to obey Him has not changed from the beginning of time and won't change. In every age, He has always wanted people to obey Him. He's always wanted people to walk in His way. And He warns the people in verse 19. He says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live." I wonder if the pro-life movement takes their "choose life" slogan from that verse. Choose life. And yet, so many in our society today choose death. We see the confusion when it's said to be a good thing when a mother aborts her baby. When someone goes to a drunken, revelous party and they say, "We had a good time." It's not a good time. It's not good things. We see it when the entertainment industry produces all sorts of provocative and sinful fare for the consumption of the masses. And it gets rave reviews. "Oh, that was so good. That was a great movie. That was a great song. Oh, I just love that. It's so good." And yet it's not good. It's evil. Our society today certainly is confused on this issue. We are to depart from evil and do good, Psalm 37:27 tells us. Doing good will bring God's favor, while doing evil brings trouble, Proverbs 11:27 tells us. God will judge us on whether we do good or evil, Ecclesiastes 12:13 and 14. We looked at verse 13 a couple of weeks ago, but verse 14 goes on to say, after not only fear God and keep His commandments, for that's man's all, that's the whole duty of man, but then he goes on to say in verse 14, "For God will bring every work into judgment." And you know, again, for us to warn people that the things they're doing will cause them to be judged by God is considered an evil and wicked thing to do. We're accused of being hate mongers and being judgmental and pharisaical and all that if we just warn people of the danger that they're in. It's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine a situation where the Mississippi Bridge was out and there was somebody trying to flag down the cars and stop them and warn them, "Stop, don't go because the bridge is out," and people yell at them and cuss at them and call them names and say, "You know, who are you to judge me? I'll drive where I want to drive." No. For the most part, people would be very grateful. "Oh, thank you for warning me. I didn't know the bridge was out." And yet in spiritual matters, when someone is warned that the road they're on is leading right to a precipice where the bridge is out and they're going to fall into the abyss, "Who are you to judge me? Wait, who do you think you are?" good evil and evil good. We're so confused in our world today. And of course, the only way we can get it straightened out is to go back to God's Word. We need to make sure, as Christians, that our sounds are certain and understood about what is good and what is evil. We don't need to be wishy-washy and beat around the bush. If it's evil, call it evil. If it's good, call it good. Now, I know that there are some things that don't really matter one way or the other. They're not neither good nor bad. They're just kind of neutral. And we understand that. There are things that are in the realm of opinion. I like this and you like that, and that's okay. But there are things where God has spoken and He said, this is right and this is wrong. This is good and this is evil. And we need to be sure that when those things are specified by God, we stand with God on those issues. And not be easily moved off of that position. 1 Corinthians 14:7-8 says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? And the problem with a lot in the religious world today is that their teaching makes an uncertain sound. And they've kind of left everybody, well, you know, we don't do it, but if you want to, you know, who are we to judge you? Well, the fact of the matter is, of course, we are nobody to judge anybody. But what we can do is we can open up God's book and look and see what He said on the matter. And then we're not judging anyone. We're simply following the guidelines that God has put in place. Purity of life is made to look bad today. It's not a new thing. It's been quite a while that, you know, oh, goody two-shoes. Someone who's a teetotaler, who abstains from alcohol, is looked down on. Like those Rechabites that we talked about in class this morning. They wouldn't drink the alcohol. They were probably looked down on by a lot of people. And so it is today. Virginity is something that's looked down on, if it's even considered. It's considered, oh, that's not important. That doesn't matter. Fidelity in marriage, that's just become a joke in so many circles. In fact, years ago now, after Bill Clinton's relationship with Monica Lewinsky, one of the talk show hosts said, all men do that. Well, God's men don't do that. God doesn't want all men to do that. And that's no excuse for it. Even if all men did do that, it wouldn't make it right to cheat on your spouse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, Paul says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'm afraid sometimes that we're afraid. We're afraid of being called names. We're afraid of being rejected by others. And so we just go along to get along. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to say anything or do anything that's going to turn somebody off or that's going to offend somebody. As we get further into the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to find that Jesus wasn't afraid to offend somebody if they needed offending. Because He was going to stand with His Father and say what was true and what was right regardless. And the fact of the matter is, we're going to offend some people when we tell them God's truth. Paul asked the question, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yes, we will. There will be some who will hate us and accuse us of hating them when we love them enough to share with them God's truth and His plan for their salvation and His grace and His mercy. And yet they'll say, "Well, you're just hate mongers. That's hate speech." It's not hate speech. It's love speech. I love you enough to tell you that what you're doing is wrong and that it's going to destroy you. Stop doing it and come back. If a child is running toward the street, do you worry about hurting the child's feelings by yelling, "Stop!" Do you even worry about, sometimes somebody goes and grabs somebody and tackles them and knocks them down to keep them from running out there in the street. But it saved their life. They may get some bumps and bruises and scrapes and who knows, maybe even a broken bone. But that's better than getting out there and getting hit by a car and being killed. See, we have a confused concept of love and hatred in this world as well. Isaiah didn't mention that, but that goes right along with this light and darkness, sweet and bitter, good and evil thing. We're confused about the difference between love and hate. Moral judgments of any kind are made to look evil today. You can't legislate morality. Oh, let him who's without sin cast the first stone. Judge not. Jesus said, judge not. We hear these things all the time. In the church, as Christians, we have to make moral judgments. You know, the term discriminating has come to mean that you pick on somebody because of their race or gender or some other such thing. But do you realize what the word discriminating really means? What it really originally, the word meant, not the way it's come to be used today, but originally to be discriminating was to be able to tell the difference between good and bad. To be able to discern the difference. But that word's completely lost its meaning today. All it means now is, you look down on somebody because of something about them. But as Christians, honestly, we need to discriminate. We need to discriminate between good and evil. We need to be able to tell the difference. Of course, as we look at Matthew 7, which is often used where Jesus says, "Judge not lest you be judged," if we look at the whole context, we realize Jesus never said in that situation where the one had the plank in his eye and the other had a speck in his eye, He never said, "Don't worry about it, just let the guy keep the speck in his eye." What He said was, first you get the plank out of your eye. And then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, I don't know about you. You ever had a speck of dust in your eye? I mean, it doesn't take a very big thing at all to hurt really bad. Now, I don't know. I've never had a plank in my eye. I can only imagine how that would feel, and I'd rather not. But if you get that out of there, then you can help. See, Jesus didn't say just leave it and never do anything about it. He said, first, take care of your sin. First, get your plank out of your eye. Well, even if you have a speck in your eye and your brother has a speck, get your speck out and then you can help your brother get his speck out. We need to do that. That's truly loving our brother well. How about you? When you had something in your eye, maybe you got an eyelash in your eye. Maybe it was a speck of dust. I got a piece of fireworks in my eye one time. And let me tell you, anybody who loved me was going to try to help me get that out of there. It hurt. It was hot and it burned and then it was really irritating even after that. Finally got that thing out of there. And, it's aggravating to try to get it out. Sometimes it hurts worse in the process. But it's necessary. What Jesus also said in John 7:24 that people often ignore was, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. He said there's a right way to judge, and it's according to God's law, according to God's commands, according to the way God sees good and evil. That's the way we judge. Tolerance is such a key word today. Oh, we have to tolerate everything except intolerance. That can't be tolerated. We should exercise tolerance with those who have a different view than ours, those who have a different opinion than ours. We tolerate that. We have to. We have different opinions, different likes, different dislikes. That's normal. But you know, it's interesting that they carry it so far that we're supposed to tolerate all sorts of sinful things, and yet they never tolerate our viewpoint on the matter, that that's wrong. That's never tolerated. In our society today, also homosexuals are trying to make the heterosexual look like the bad guy. When you're homophobic, just because we say that we teach their lifestyle to be sinful, that we teach that the practice of homosexuality goes against God's law, we're scared of them. We're not scared of them. We just are trying to warn them that what they're doing is contrary to God's law and will end in destruction if not repented of. And I know that sometimes people seem to pick on homosexuality. And I understand that some of the reasoning for that, because that's worse than others because it goes against nature. But you know, it's right there in the same list many times in the Bible with a lot of other things that people tend to ignore and say are okay. And so I can understand why they feel frustrated perhaps with some Christians who seem to be hypocritical because they pick on the homosexual but they ignore the couple over here that's shacking up. Or they ignore the man over here who's cheating on his wife. Or they ignore other sins and just focus on that one. And so I understand why they may be a little frustrated at that. But the problem is, with any sin, not just homosexuality, but with any sin, it spreads and it results in spiritual death to those who are contaminated by that sin. Romans chapter 1, we see these things listed. He says they were being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. There's a whole list of things there. Now, in that particular section, homosexuality isn't even mentioned. It was mentioned earlier up in the chapter. He dealt with that in a couple of verses. But here he lists a whole group of sins. And then he says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. So we can't, if we're going to follow God's law and God's teaching, we can't just single out one sin and say, well, that's the one. But we also can't allow ourselves to be bullied into not speaking out against a sin. Because, well, they'll call me names. The Bible does very clearly teach that the homosexual practice is wrong. Practice of that is a sexual sin, just as other things are sexual sins. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. But it says there that even some of those people in the church there used to be that. But they had come out of it. They had repented of their sin. They had been cleansed from it. They had been forgiven, and now they were Christians there in Corinth. And that's our ultimate goal, is to help people overcome their sins. And we have to work on our own lives. We have to work to overcome the sin in our own life. The problem is, if we aren't discerning, if we don't know the difference between good and evil, if we haven't looked at what God has to say about what's right and what's wrong, what's light and what's dark, if we haven't looked at that, if we haven't read that and studied that and learned that, we'll get to ourselves thinking that we're okay. And we'll convince ourselves that the things we're doing aren't really bad. They're really good. They're really okay, even when they're sinful. And that's the state that our society has gotten to. One of the reasons that the homosexuality is often picked on, as it's the only one left that you can could say anything about. Because if you say anything about other sins, well, everybody had accepted those already. But now we're getting to the point where homosexuality is becoming the accepted norm. Recent survey said that over 50% of the people in the United States think that homosexual marriage should be allowed. Well, of course, it doesn't matter what 50% of the people say. It doesn't change what God wrote and what God thinks on the matter. But it's interesting, isn't it? And oh, it used to be this was a sin, and then people accepted it. And then this was a sin, and people accepted that. And then this was a sin, and people then accepted that, and it couldn't be a sin anymore. And then another thing and another thing. And now, just about the only sin left is telling somebody that something is a sin. That's sinful now. You're a bad, evil person if you tell somebody something's a sin. But that's the only one left. Everything else is okay. It's amazing what has come to be allowed in our society today and accepted as not only, you know, and there have always been, well, you know, that's kind of bad, but, you know, and I don't do it. But, well, you know, that's their business if they do it. But now it's gotten to the point where you can't even say, well, that's not good. It's got to be okay. Everything's okay. Even though things like gambling destroy families, destroy people's lives because they become addicted to it and sell their house and their car and pawn everything they've got to gamble a little more. Well, gambling's, it's good. There are many, many things that our society has come to accept as good and even beneficial to society. I mean, just think, all the kids that get to go to college because of the gambling here in Louisiana, and they get to go to school and get it paid for, and isn't that good? Well, is it good for kids to get to go to school? Sure. Is it good for them to get to have a scholarship? Well, yeah, that part is. But how did they get it? The way they got it is so disturbing, because so many people's lives were ruined in order for that to happen for them. We've got to understand that the ends does not justify the means. The end of wanting kids to be able to go get a scholarship to go to college doesn't justify the means of causing the destruction to families. And you know, how many people wind up with not only family problems, but they wind up bankrupt, destitute, even homeless because they got wrapped up in it. We've got to watch out when we start calling things that cause that many things that are bad a good thing. One man was asked, he was in politics, and they asked him about alcohol. What do you think about alcohol? He said, well, some of my friends are for it, and some of my friends are against it, and I stand with my friends. That's a real political type answer, isn't it? Another man was asked about alcohol, and he said, well, if you're talking about that holiday cheer that lightens the mood and brings a rosy glow to the cheeks, and he goes on and on about and all these things. He said, well, then that's a wonderful thing. But now if you're talking about that demon that causes a man to beat his wife and causes a drunk driver to kill somebody, well, then that's horrible. Well, it's the same alcohol. Can't have it both ways. You see, Jesus said, and I know He was talking about people in particular, but He said, by their fruits you shall know them. if what something produces is a lot of bad results, then there's a pretty good chance that that thing that produced all those bad results was a bad thing. You know, if you've got a bush that produces poison berries that make you sick every time you eat them, then there's a pretty good chance that's a bad bush. That's a poison bush. You don't want to eat those berries anymore. And yet so many things in our society that cause all sorts of bad results. And yet we say, well, you know, they're not bad. You know the tree by its fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. We've got to learn to look at the fruits that things produce so that we can... Because I know, you know, some of these things that we're talking about, there's not a verse that you can point to. That verse says, do not do X, Y, or Z. There's not a verse that says that. We have to glean from the Scriptures the principles that God teaches about the fruits and the results of a thing so that we can recognize some of these things and be able to discern the good and the evil. It's not always clearly spelled out in a list by God like that list we read in Romans 1. Well, religion, particularly, not just religion, but Christianity in particular, and the Bible are made to look bad. Religion is just a crutch for the weak-minded people. Well, that's just your opinion. The Bible was written by men, not God. The kind of statements you hear. In fact, some of the atheists, I saw some quotes by some of these atheists recently. Some of these atheists go so much further. They actually believe that if we believe in God, we have a mental illness. Believing in God is a mental illness. One of the most famous atheists in our society today even wrote a book called The God Delusion. That was a New York Times bestseller. Everybody ran out and bought it. Prove all these Christians that believe in God, there's something crazy, they're crazy in the head. There's something wrong with them if they believe in God. And yet, of course, we know that's not true. Unfortunately, a lot of people in society, and more people in society, are beginning to believe that. There are far more atheist and non-religious people in our society today than there have ever been in this country before. They're growing. That segment of the population is growing. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, however, says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. But see, we're going to have to read God's Word so that we can learn the difference between a good work and an evil work. Edmund Burke said back in 1770, before the Revolutionary War was even fought, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. What are we doing? Are we standing for what is good and standing against what is evil in our own lives, first of all? You see, because if we allow evil in our lives and then condemn it in other people's lives, then we're hypocrites. That goes back to what Jesus was saying about the plank and the speck. So are we allowing it in our own lives, or are we standing for what's good and standing against what's evil in our own lives, first of all, and in the lives of our family members, and in the lives of church members? What about in our society? Will we stand for what's good and stand against evil? Or will we allow the erosion of the conscience that's happening in our society to affect us as well? And we'll just follow along a step behind, wait a few more years, and then accept what the world accepts as good. We can't do that. Not if we want to please God. We're either with Him or we're against Him. Which may mean if we're with Him, we're against the world. And it will mean that the world will be against us. But it would be better to fight the whole world than to try to fight against God. If you need to respond to God's invitation this morning, perhaps you have sin in your life that you need to repent of. You've allowed something evil to be accepted as good in your own life for too long. You need to get rid of it. You need to get it out of there. Perhaps you just haven't stood up, spoken up. You've just let things alone, ignored it, stuck your head in the sand pretending it wasn't there. It's time to wake up and get up and stand up for what God says. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation today, please do so as we stand and sing.